Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Welcome to Drive Time. It is Friday. Jason with you. Dan is here and Laura as well. The story making headlines around Minnesota and around the world is the federal government showing that it is in charge. And we talked extensively against the pardoning of a convicted sex offender here in Minnesota. When the governor did it, when the attorney general did it, when the then chief justice of the Supreme Court all voted to pardon a guy who was sexually assaulting, was raping a 10-year-old girl when he was 18. It's a disgusting crime. And to pardon someone for a crime like that, to me, it's unconscionable. At the same time, I am disgusted by the fact that our federal government is more interested in dunking on Tim Walz, in dunking on this Laotian refugee who arrived to the United States as a child, who had legal citizenship until he was convicted of this crime. And the dunk on this guy is disgusting. It's offensive. It's not about keeping you or me or our children more safe. It's about shoving it in the face of the libs and the soft on crime Democrats and Tim Walz. We have one of the most embarrassing excuses for a government. It's just not how we should be treating people. And I say that with the backdrop of saying I think the correct decision was made to deport this man. But you know it's not about that. 651-461-9226. Or at the least, the dunk is giving people more of a thrill than doing the right thing, than achieving what I would be surprised if anyone with a straight face could say that Tu Lu Vang should still be here in Minnesota. 651-461-9226. I'd love to hear your reaction to this, because my reaction is sadness all the way around. Sadness that Tu Lu Vang got off with such a light sentence. At the beginning, he served no time behind bars. It was just a long probationary period because the family apparently pressured the 10-year-old or the 12-year-old at the time of the prosecution, pressured her into not testifying. That was unjust. Sadness that our elected officials here in Minnesota thought that it made any sort of sense to pardon someone who served no time behind bars. And pardon somebody who is convicted of being a sex offender. Stupid. Just stupid. And then the inevitable, like you, this was a play in three acts, right? You knew what the final act was going to be before the curtain dropped on, once again, the federal government using Minnesota as a prop in its morality play. It is just a prop. They don't care about this state. They don't care about any of the people. It is just a prop. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Now, I do believe, and a texter is saying that I have it backwards, that Walz and Ellison tried to dunk on Trump, even if it meant sympathizing with a sex offender. I do think there's some fairness to that pushback, and we talked about that when we first talked about this story. Gosh, it's been a week. It's been a week now, I think. It's last Thursday that we talked about it before the 4th of July weekend. That said, at the same hearing, there was another person who was here illegally, who was facing potential deportation, who did not get pardoned. So in this case, you can believe them or you cannot believe them. But the governor and the attorney general said that they put a lot of stock into the fact that the victim wrote a letter saying that she thought Tu Vang should not be deported, that he had served enough of a penalty and the shame of this over the years. I disagree with that decision, but I do think it at least throws into question the idea that this all was done just to stick it to Trump. I do think that instinct, we see that so much from our politicians, and we certainly see that here in the state. Let's go to Tim in St. Louis Park at 651-461-9226. Tim, I'm disappointed all the way around on this. I do think that Tu Lu Vang should have been deported, though. What do you think?
Oh, for sure. Well, he shouldn't have been pardoned in the first place.
Agreed. Agreed.
He should have been deported. And I'm just disgusted with the fight between Walz and Trump. Yeah. And you know, you've got this. What were Walz and Ellison thinking when they did this? Why did they do this? Is it just to get a highlight to poke Trump? Because that's what they're doing, and Trump has the power. So
yeah, it is. It's a fair question, and the governor was asked that, right? And you know, not that I would expect him to be honest and say, yeah, we're sticking it to the president. It sure felt like me that it was an intentional sort of, we're going to try to protect this guy from being deported because we don't like the way ICE did their business. But then at that same hearing, they didn't deport another guy who was in a similar scenario. So I don't know. Maybe they were. I mean, to me, they were not thinking, right? It is too. Right. I'm for the idea of pardoning. I don't think that a convicted child sex offender should ever be pardoned, though. To me, that's the type of crime that I think you can be forgiven. The victim can forgive you. We should have second chances, and we should have a chance to go and make a life. But I don't know that wiping that off your record, to me, is, I mean, it's something I'm not interested in, you know?
It's crazy, and I don't know. I mean, who's crazier, Walz or Trump? Well, Trump's crazy on a scale of about 9. Walz is pretty close to a 7.
Yeah. Tim, I think you and I are on the same page with that. Thank you. Tim in St. Louis Park. That's a good call. I mean, it is. This is something I've been talking about for a long time. It is an incredible frustration of mine that this battle of wills between our governor and our president is terrible for those of us who are in the state. Puts us in the crosshairs of a vindictive presidential administration. For what? For what? What's the benefit? What's the upside? What's the good part of this for America? Now, I do want to play what Marco Rubio had to say about this case, because this goes again to the fact that there is no real understanding about the actual case. It's a top level headline clickbait sort of view of this story. And I get it. I'm not saying that we need a lot of nuance in this when we're looking at this state. But listen to what Marco Rubio had to say.
Just weeks ago, a convicted sex offender and a foreign national was shielded from deportation by the governor of Minnesota. Laotian national Tu Li Vang was convicted of repeatedly sexually abusing a 10-year-old girl in the state of Minnesota. He even tried to pay his victim for her silence, and he called his heinous crimes a minor thing. Just days before this foreign sex offender was scheduled to be deported, Tim Walz, the governor, issued him a pardon, setting him free to once again endanger the children of America. Well, this week I revoked his legal status in the United States, and as a result...
All right, so... The calling him a criminal, what did he call him? A criminal alien. It's like the guy came here as a child. He had legal citizenship. His citizenship was revoked when he was convicted. I think he should have been deported. But again, the way this is being handled, the sort of gross photo, and if you're watching on our live stream on YouTube or on my X account or on the WCCO Radio Facebook, the photo of this guy like being taken away, child predator deported. It's about the headline. It's not about keeping you safe. It just isn't. Andrew on YouTube says, all the world is a stage and some people are just props. Part of the rehabilitating process of convicted non-citizens should always be deportation, no matter the case. I agree with you, Andrew. I agree with you. Linda on Facebook, I'm very happy he's gone. Good riddance. Second chances should never happen with illegal aliens. I totally agree. But when they cloak this in the language of, you know, the safety of America's children, he'll never again. It gives this perception that like this guy was out there like looking for kids to sexually assault. When really what was happening was sort of a familiar kind of cultural. Still criminal, gross. He deserves to be convicted. He should have spent time in the clink back when he was convicted for this. To me, the bottom line is the cruelty. When I look at what the purpose is of what the federal government is trying to do, it's the dunk and it's the cruelty. It's not the safety. Let's break. Text pouring in. Lots of calls too. 651-461-9226. Drive time back in just a minute.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Friday. Hope you're getting ready for a great weekend. It's going to be a hot one here in the Twin Cities. Just about 10 minutes, we're going to talk a little bit about what next after the city of St. Paul clears out homeless encampments. We talked a little bit about that yesterday after the Twins game, but we're going to talk to one of the shelters in St. Paul that's preparing for that coming up in just about 10 minutes. Right now, we're talking about the deportation of a Laotian national who has spent his entire life, essentially, in Minnesota. He was convicted of raping a 10-year-old. He was 18 at the time. This was in 2006, but it burst into the national headlines because he received a pardon for his crime by Minnesota's governor and the pardon board. And so it became a political hot potato. And today, the federal government ended this morality play by broadcasting over and over this photo of Tu Lu Vang being deported from the United States, complete with Marco Rubio doing a statement saying that he will never endanger another American again. Just a distortion of the facts of what was going on here, but a result that I do think is the correct result, that he should have been deported. And in fact, he would have been deported 20 years ago, except for the fact that Laos wasn't taking any Laotian nationals. So there was nowhere to deport him to. Mike is in Minneapolis at 651-461-9226. Mike, what do you want to say?
I'm just really angry and frustrated with Walls and Ellison because they basically gave a gift to Trump to paint immigrants with this, you know, criminal element and the worst of the worst. So it's like all the year of trying to prove that ICE was wrong and that immigrants deserve a place. Instead, we've got this ridiculous story. So, yeah. You know, Trump yes. is Trump, but Walls is tone deaf. And I can't believe he's this ignorant, but he is.
Mike, it's such a smart observation by you, because this is an incredible gift. The federal government doesn't care about this guy, doesn't care about his family, doesn't care about our community. This is just a great prop to use to say, look at these goof nuts in Minnesota. They are so desperate to protect people who are here illegally. They are pardoning somebody who sexually assaulted a 10-year-old. And while that is like not the nuanced understanding of what happened here, it's pretty close. It's close enough, right? Where you look at it and say, why did we do this? Why did we give this to them?
Indeed. And thank you for letting me for sure. raise my opinion.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. 651-461-9226. A texter asked, did I hear that the girl, the 10-year-old girl at the time, wanted him pardoned? And that is correct. She did. And that is what the governor and the attorney general said was the reason that they voted for the pardon. I believe them, because again, at that same pardon hearing, there was another person in a similar scenario that was not pardoned. And I also think the fact that the girl wanted him pardoned is essentially irrelevant. It's not up. We don't let victims decide sentences, and I don't think we should. I understand all the time the media asks people like, oh, what do you think? Like, and you have their opinion matters, but I don't know. I think it's not up to her. It's not up to her. And there should have been a little more political strategy in this. Texter 651-461-9226. Why did the Democrats die on these loser hills? MAGA and J.D. Vance couldn't ask for anything better. I agree. Are you for real? Texter says, you're whining about dunking. There is zero tolerance for pedophiles. Full stop. Thank God the Fed stepped in to right this wrong. What did the feds do to keep you safer, Texter? What did they do to right this wrong? And if, I mean, I agree with the outcome. I also think it's reasonable to take a look at what's going on here and be realistic. One, the state of Minnesota is serving up, just lobbing up softballs for the federal government to slam grand slams left and right and dunk on this state. That is a problem, I think. It's bad for Minnesota. Number two, The federal government doesn't give a rip about keeping us safe from people who are here illegally. They don't. What they care about is the dunk. They care about showing the picture, making Tim Walz look stupid, and making the Democrats look soft on crime. And they did it. You know, they did it.
Yeah, you can agree with the outcome of all of this and feel that the way that we got here is totally gross. Again, all the way around, right? I get what the distinction you're trying to make with Walz and Ellison, you know, and the Chief Justice saying that, you know, this one gets pardoned, but this other person who was also eligible for deportation doesn't get pardoned.
I just think that's like worth a little considering.
No, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. My I don't want to say even pushback on that, but yeah. I think my further point on that is I really do wonder if this individual, even with the victim offering, you know, her forgiveness and wish that he not be deported, if he wasn't eligible for deportation, if we set that aside,
yep.
If she just wanted him pardoned for this crime and able to move on with his life, however she thinks he should be able to move on with his life, would that pardon still have come?
Hmm.
Or was the deportation element what really put it over the
right.
top? And I sort of suspect it's the latter and not so much the former. So this was a gross attempt on the part of Minnesota leaders to try to stick it to the president, and then a gross way that the president's administration has reacted to it and done what they did. Even if, again, you can say, yeah, this guy should have been deported. That's the letter of the law.
Yeah.
We can just do that without all the political posturing, but actually we can't anymore in this country. Everything has to be political posturing.
I would have been less disgusted by what happened today if it wasn't for the picture. The picture is what set me off this morning when I saw it. And we've seen this time and time again from the federal government, right? They want the photos. This is why we saw ICE agents in Minneapolis holding cell phones, taking photos and taking video, not to protect themselves, but to have stuff to post. And so this photo of this guy being deported to me is that is what was over the top. Now, notice what we don't have a photo of. Oh, didn't ICE agents kill someone this week? Huh. And there's no, they didn't have body cameras or dash cameras or anything. Huh. Interesting what we have photos of, isn't it? Interesting. It is 3:31. We're going to take a break in a minute. What do we do after the city of St. Paul sweeps the first homeless camp that they're going to shut down in a couple of weeks now? I think it's good that the city of St. Paul is saying enough, like we got to get people out of this unsafe environment, out of just living on the street, living in these encampments. But where are we going to put people? Do we have enough beds? Are the people who are in this encampment willing to go into a shelter? We're going to talk with Union Gospel Mission Twin Cities, which has just expanded the number of beds they have. Are they ready? We'll find out in just a minute on Drive Time.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, we're building new facilities. Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
City of St. Paul announced what I think, is long overdue. The mayor is ordering the closure, the sweeping of homeless encampments in the city of St. Paul. There are, 100, 150, maybe 200 people living at Pig's Eye Park. And the question, you know, you look at the policy and you're like, it's pretty, I think most of us say, look, we have tried to allow people to sort of create their own rules, have their own place, and it's led to safety concerns. There's been violence. There have been drug overdoses. There are also residents and neighbors who have a right to go to parks and not have needles all over the place, or have their kids walk to school and not have people who are unhoused all over the place. But there is a practical concern, too, like what, right? You clean these encampments, it can be sort of like whack-a-mole, like they pop up somewhere else or move somewhere here, or now they're coming into. So the question is, in this next couple of weeks, are there going to be beds? Are there going to be places for people? And are they going to take advantage of it? Let's bring in Sammy Watkins, who is with Union Gospel Mission Twin Cities. Sammy is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He is the director of chaplains, and he has been out visiting with some of the homeless people, and not just starting today. This has been a long process of trying to build relationships with people, really building up for this moment. Sammy, good to visit with you.
How's it going, Jason? Good to be here.
I'm glad to have you with us, because I really want to understand from your perspective kind of Where are the folks, you know, this 150 or so people at this Pig's Eye encampment? And this is the first encampment that's going to be shut down. But what's going to happen? Are there beds? Is there room for these homeless people when the city of St. Paul comes and sweeps this closed?
So, Jason, a lot of people are asking that question right now. And we know that there shelters and outreach organizations and resources from the county and faith-based ministries that are working together to respond to the need that will arise on August 5th. Here at the Union Gospel Mission, we will provide emergency shelter, meals, case management, spiritual care, recovery programming, Christ Center pathways to long-term transformation. And so we're already gearing up to welcome any of those who would take shelter here at Union Gospel Mission. And as stated, we've been out there for about the last 4 years from Union Gospel, the chaplaincy department, building relationships. And so we plan to be there 2 days prior to the shutdown and on the day of to make Union Gospel Mission available to those who would take a ride. We'll have a couple vans there to move individuals if they would like to come shelter here or if they want to go into treatment. Right now I'm hearing that there won't be any other pop-ups where we could relocate them to another encampment. So we'll go there and play by the rules and try to show these individuals that they're valued and show them dignity and respect and try to get them to a safe place.
Now, I know that Union Gospel Mission has expanded with some new beds that are available, the first expansion of the men's campus with 4 new emergency shelter dormitories. So that is going to help, right? But the reality is that these are complicated decisions. When you're out talking to folks, like, are they interested in going to a shelter, or what's your gut tell you as to what these folks are going to do?
So because the city is not relocating individuals to other encampments, I think there may be an increased number of individuals that are looking to come in for shelter. And as you stated, Union Gospel Mission is prepared right now. We're still under renovation right now, but we do have the 4 new dorms. And so, Jason, this is not something that Union Gospel Mission alone will solve.
You can't take everybody.
Right, exactly. But the beautiful thing about these encampment closures, I've been privy to a few, is that you have a lot of different agencies. Like I say, you have faith-based organizations, you have the Heart Team, People Inc., you have people that will come out, and each one of us, with the resources that we can provide, will come out to provide those resources and hope to net a lot of those individuals and help them to get into safe housing and shelter.
How, when you try to build that trust, and I know some of our listeners are going to hear this and be like, give me a break. Like, we're looking at people who are living on the streets. Like, how much do you have to bend over backwards to try to help people? At the same time, like, there are people in different levels of distress or mental health challenges or substance abuse. Like, it's not just as easy as saying, hey, buddy, like, you got get to the shelter. Like, it does take some work, doesn't it, for you to build that trust with folks?
And so, and you're absolutely correct. And the beautiful thing about it is, for your listeners, is to understand that behind every tent is a human being with a story, right? We don't want to lose sight of that. But we've built those relationships. The agencies that I've, you know, kind of mentioned on this call have built relationships. And so now it's time to collect on that relational currency and hope that people will say, you know what, I'll give UGM a chance. I'll head over to Catholic Charities. I've been needing to get into to treatment and to start to make those decisions now. And it's available. And so we're doing our part to go out and make these resources available. And all we can do is hope and pray that the Lord will lay on the hearts of some of those individuals to take us up on these services.
Sammy, when you talk to folks and they don't want to leave the encampment, they don't want to leave their tent, what are the reasons? Why don't they want to leave?
So various reasons. Some people have pets that they can't come into shelter with. Some individuals have relationships that they know will cause them to have to separate from that individual. Some people have untreated mental health illnesses that when they get into crowds, they start to act out in ways that, you know what I'm saying, won't be tolerated in shelter. And so each person has a different story, a different reason for not wanting to come in. And so over the last 4 years, we've brought in 11 individuals. And right now, for the listeners, that might not sound like a lot, but these are people when we're out doing outreach and we built these relationships that when we stop at a tent, they'll say, you know what, today is the day. You know, ask them, you know, have you considered, you know, coming in for shelter? You know, I was thinking about it last night. And so, man, we'll spend a little extra time at that tent. And then, lo and behold, this individual will say, yeah, today is the day. And for the chaplains, the outreach at that moment stops because somebody has decided that they want to come in and experience some shelter and maybe get some wraparound services and to start a new life where transformation can happen. And so when you look at it as a whole, it could seem overwhelming. And your listeners might feel like, yeah, man, this is just a huge situation that we're not going to be able to solve. But when you look at it individual at a time, it doesn't seem so difficult. It isn't that hard once you put, you know, a name to a face and you've heard the story and you know this individual. It really changes the way you view homelessness and those individuals out in the encampments.
Sammy Watkins is the director of ministry, director of chaplains and outreach at Union Gospel Mission Twin Cities. What, Sammy, is your, I mean, I'm sure as you think about this, there's a best case and a worst case scenario. What in your mind is the best case scenario of what happens when the city of St. Paul goes in a couple of weeks on August 5th and shuts it down?
Best case scenario is that many of the agencies that are operating in the Twin Cities, especially right here in the Ramsey County area, will show up. We'll be a united front. People will collect that relational currency on those relationships, and a lot of those individuals will come in for shelter. They'll be housed. And so that's my primary prayer here at Union Gospel Mission and the chaplains team that I work with each and every day. And that's why we'll be there on the day of that closing with a couple vans and, again, leveraging those relationships to say, man, we're here for you. We want to see life transformation happen for you.
Yeah, that's the difference, right? It's not just about a bed. It's about that opportunity that comes then with that first night in the shelter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sammy Watkins, yeah. I appreciate you and your team and all the work you do. It is, I mean, when you hear it, you're like, years of one-on-one outreach to try to get folks to turn their life around. It's quite an effort, and I'm grateful that you're out there doing it. Thanks, Sammy.
All right. Thank you for having me today, Jason.
It's a complicated issue. Really is. It's hard to understand if you've never been there or you've never seen it, where you're like, how much work do you have to put in for people who are choosing to not change their environment? And you can have a different perspective on how much choice are they making when you're in the throes of addiction or you're in the throes of mental health challenge. But at a certain point, I do think we have leaned a little too hard on the rights of people who are in those challenges and not enough on the rights of people who are not and also have a right to use the parks and use their neighborhoods. It's a tough one. We're rooting for St. Paul that it works out and that it doesn't just scatter people to different locations. 3:48, we're going to break. In a minute, a text exchange that I just had with a famous Minnesota resident about a very controversial issue. That in minutes here on CCO. Did you see that Taylor Swift, we're playing a little Taylor Swift, she paid already for the police overtime in New York City, $160,000 she paid to the city for her wedding.
Which is great. I mean, that's, you know, couch cushion money for her, but.
I mean, that's such it doesn't matter, right? Like,
it's good that she did it.
It's couch cushion money.
It is.
I know. But so what? Doesn't matter. It's about doing the right
thing.
Well,
it's not like, I'm saying it's not like it's, you know, something that hurt her in any way, shape, or form. But she stepped up and
how many people would do it?
That's just it.
Right.
Right.
And paid already.
Both of those can be true.
You wonder if, like, she either has the smartest people running her business or, like, is this just, like, this is the directive from her. Like,
what do they always say?
We do the right thing and we do it early.
Culture comes from the top down.
Yeah, I think so. She deserves the credit for it.
100%.
If she has a business manager that is leading this stuff, that person is very smart.
Yes.
Right? Because doesn't it look good? Today,
absolutely.
The mayor of New York is having a news conference. All right, before the break, I promised a text message I was exchanging.
Yes.
So last night I was at Plates and Playmakers, a charity event that had a bunch of awesome chefs from the Twin Cities raising money to fight hunger. They had celebrities like Paul Molitor was there, Kent Herbeck, Brock Faber. And for some poor people, they got stuck at a table with me. What a disappointment.
All the tables we could have been at were with this guy.
And I was just apologizing. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Was Brock bespectacled?
He was, yeah.
Perfect.
My table, when they introduced me, stood up and gave a standing ovation because it was so good. So Andrew Zimmern was one of the key people involved in this. And Andrew and I were talking, and it came out through this conversation that I like to wear my robe around the apartment. And my wife volunteered that I have mowed the lawn.
Yeah.
In my robe.
Which you have.
And in fact, once I was trimming tree limbs in my robe. This morning, Alyssa asked me to take the trash out because there was something in the apartment that smelled a
little funky.
So I'm like, sure, take the trash out. Robe in effect. So we're in an apartment now. I don't know what's worse, walking down the hall of the apartment building in the robe or mowing the lawn in the robe in my neighborhood. I don't know.
In honor of North Stars legend Dino Cicerelli, the key context is what was under the robe.
Oh, there was nothing under that robe.
When you're mowing the lawn?
Danger is my middle name. I'm not afraid.
No, everybody else is afraid.
Who's going to see it? Who's getting that close? Well, a strong breeze could have been an issue. So I recorded myself taking the trash out in the robe.
Because of course you did.
And texted that to Andrew Zimmern, who just responded that he has a new screensaver now.
Yeah, he does. If you, do you ever like take a step back and just look at your life for a minute?
No one saw me in the hall this morning.
Thank
so it was fine.
God.
What's the big deal? Why is it like all right to go out wearing like a crop top and booty shorts and it's some big scandal that I'm wearing a bathrobe? 80% of my body is covered up when I'm wearing a robe. Why is this anybody's business? Who cares?
Tie it a little tighter. Make it 95.
Can't this be my one quirk? Can't it just be my one thing? Jason's the robe guy. And I got a beautiful watch on while I'm doing it, thanks to Continental Diamond, where the time check is 3:58.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.